Welcome to 30 Minutes Towards Victory. Hi, I'm Greg Marcus. I'm the pastor of Imperial Valley Christian Center. This is our TV program, our TV ministry, our TV, whatever you want to call it. We call it 30 Minutes Towards Victory because our purpose with this program is to encourage you, is to lift you up, is to give you hope, is to energize you, is to move you in the direction of receiving the good life, the good things in life, the good life, the great life that God wants you to have. The Bible, God's Word, promises us. God promises us that if we'll follow Him and if we'll serve Him, we'll have a good life here and now, not just on the other side. By and by when we make it over, that's great, that's wonderful. But the Bible teaches, the Bible promises, God's Word promises, God promises that if we'll follow after Him, if we'll stick with Him, if we'll follow His direction, then we'll experience a good life. We'll have a good life right here, right now, on this planet, in this time. And that's what this program, 30 Minutes Towards Victory, is all about. That's what we're all about at Imperial Valley Christian Center. Anyway, right now we're on the subject of, what is Christianity supposed to do? What is Christianity supposed to do? What is Christianity supposed to do? It's supposed to do something. Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, did not come to the earth, was not born of a virgin, did not die on the cross, did not rise from the dead, just so that nothing could happen, just so we could sit around and have little intellectual debates. Can you see what I'm saying? Like one professor at USC said, answering questions that nobody's asking. No, Christianity is supposed to do something. Christianity is supposed to do something. Christianity is supposed to do something. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think about it this way. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament of the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah was a powerful prophet. But at that time where he lived in the nation of Israel, people had started following the god Baal. And he was the god of fire. And at sometimes people would offer their babies as a sacrifice to the god Baal. And one time the prophet Elijah goes up to these priests of Baal and he says to them, listen, boys, here's what we're going to do. In effect, this is what he told him, right? This is the Greg Marcus version, right? He said to them, this is what we're going to do. Listen, we're going to make a big thing of wood and logs and stuff here, and we're going to put a sacrifice on it, and I want you to call your God Baal, and tell him to consume this sacrifice with fire. He's the fire god. You tell him to consume this sacrifice with fire, and then I'll call on my God. I'll call on God Yahweh or Jehovah. I'll call on the Lord God, and I'll tell him to consume this sacrifice with fire, and whoever answers with fire, that's God. And so the priests of Baal, they began to call on their God. Oh, please consume the sacrifice, consume the sacrifice. And after they'd been at it for a while, Elijah began to tease them. He said, well, where is he? What's happening? What's going on? How come he isn't answering? Maybe he went away on a trip, or maybe he's on vacation. Maybe it's one of those three-day weekends, guys. He took the whole weekend off. Hallelujah. And so after a while, they finished, and now it was Elijah's turn, and Baal had never answered by fire. And so Elijah says, God, consume this sacrifice with fire. In effect, that's what he says. And fire came down out of the sky and consumed the whole sacrifice. Hallelujah. God did something. God did something. But you know, here's the point I want you to see. You know, if those priests of Baal lived in modern day United States, lived in the United 21st century United States, they're theologians, they're college professors, they're theological seminary professors, would start a program of developing a theology to explain why it's correct that their God Baal did not answer by fire. And that's exactly what Christians do in this time. Oh, well, you know, God knew best that it wasn't. God knew best that you shouldn't consume that with fire. He knew it would be best for us. Oh, well, you know, thou shalt not tempt the Lord Baal. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord Baal, Greg. That's why he didn't answer by fire, you know. They put together seminars. They put together colloquiums. They'd put together, you know, conferences. They'd have conventions to explain away the fact that Baal had not answered by fire. If they were modern day American 21st century Christian evangelical theologians, that's what they do. Hallelujah. Listen to me. If God is alive, he will show, he is alive. He will show himself as God in your life. If God is a real God, then he will show himself as a real God in your life. He will answer by fire. Our God, the God that I serve, the God that Greg Marcus serves, the God that we serve at Imperial Valley Christian Center, is the God who answers by fire. Not the excuse-making God. Not the God we have to invent excuses for. He is the God who shows up and does something. Hallelujah. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what is Christianity supposed to do? What is Christianity supposed to do? What is it supposed to do? God is a God who does things. He does things. You read the whole Bible, God was doing things. He's parting the Red Sea. He's making his people prosper. He's raising people from the dead. He's healing the blind, causing the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. He's a God who does something. So what's Christianity supposed to do? That's what I want to talk about. What is Christianity supposed to do? What is Christianity supposed to do? But before I get to that, let me say this. Listen, if you're not going to church anywhere right now, you need to start going to church. If you want to receive the things that God has for you in life, if you want to have the things that God has promised you in his word, it begins with going to church. You have to go to church. So if you're not going to church anywhere, I want to invite you to come to Imperial Valley Christian Center to grow, to develop, to become what God has created you to become, to grow, to develop, to receive the things that God has provided for you. Hallelujah. We meet Sunday mornings, 10:30 at 1528 South Waterman in El Centro. It's at DeAnn's Elementary School Cafeteria, 1528 South Waterman in El Centro. There should be a little map on the screen here showing you where we're at. I really, really, really want to see you there. Okay, so what is Christianity supposed to do? Well, most Christians would say that Christianity is all about going to heaven when you die. You know, we don't have much here on this earth, Greg. You're right. Yeah, our God doesn't do much on this side. I mean, I wish he would, but he doesn't do much on this side. But once we make it over, once we die, then we'll get the good stuff. So, you know, Christianity is all about going to heaven when you die. It's all about after you're dead. It's not about this, not interested in the carnal, material, unholy things of it. No, it's all about after you die. That's what Christianity, some Christians would say. And then some Christians, well, Christianity, Greg, you don't understand, but Christianity is an ethical, moral system developed by that great ethical moralist, Jesus the carpenter of Nazareth. Yes, it's an ethical and moral system. So Christianity is all about living a good life, being a good person,
It's a moral and ethical system. Other than that, it's not supposed to do anything.
No, that's not what it's about. Being a good person. I mean, it's good to be a good person, and God expects you to be a good person. And if you want to walk with God, if you begin to walk with God, He'll make you better and better and better and better and better and better and better each day that you walk with Him. Hallelujah. But that's not what Christianity is supposed to do. Some people have this idea, well, Christianity is about helping the poor, Greg. It's a poverty relief program. It's the social gospel, Greg. It's a social gospel where the great teacher, Jesus of Nazareth, that great teacher of the sheep, where He has taught us that we are to care for our brothers and we are to exercise our efforts in producing systems which help the poor and care for the poor. Well, I mean, you know, that's a good thing, you know, to care for the poor. I think it's wonderful. It is something we should do. But that's not according to Jesus and according to the Bible what Christianity is supposed to do. Those are things that people come up with when their God doesn't do anything. When you serve a God who doesn't do anything, then you come up with all sorts of programs on your own. Can you see that? But when you serve a God who answers by fire, when you serve a God who does something, then you realize that your own puny little efforts are pretty insignificant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is Christianity supposed to do? And we began to look at this last year, and I've been on vacation for about 3 or 4 months, just taking a break. This is a lot more work than you would think it is. And so I want to review for a little bit. What is Christianity supposed to do? And what I want you to see here is this, that Jesus, and He should know something about what Christianity is supposed to do, right? Jesus, He didn't talk about any of those things. He didn't talk about going to heaven when you die. He didn't talk about being a good person. He didn't talk about even helping the poor. I mean, He occasionally would say, yeah, you know, give alms to the poor. But it was a secondary subject, you know what I mean? He would mention, you know, from time to time, he would say, well, yeah, you guys, you know, you shouldn't be committing adultery. You know, you shouldn't be divorcing your wives just so you can go shack up with some little young honey. You know, He would say things like that. But the main focus of His ministry was not, you know, being a good person. The main focus of His ministry was not going to heaven when you die. The main focus of His ministry was not helping the poor. What was the main focus? Focus. Yeah, what was the main focus of His ministry, Greg? Well, you know, I understand why you ask, because, you know, we talk in the Christian church. We talk about Jesus. We tell stories about Jesus. We preach about Jesus. But we never preach what Jesus preached. We never teach what Jesus taught. We don't make the focus of our efforts what Jesus made the focus of His efforts. And it's so important for you to see this. So I want to review it real quick here. Listen, turn to Luke chapter 4, the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. And I want you to see why Jesus was sent from His own lips, from the lips of the Master. I want you to see why Jesus Himself, why He said He was sent. And let's look at Luke chapter 4, and let's start reading at verse 40. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto Him, and He laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Listen to me, God loves you. 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 Churchianity may not love you. Churchians may not love you. But God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Hallelujah. All they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto Him, and He laid His hands on every one of them and healed them. Verse 41, and devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Verse 42, and when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. Verse 43, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. For therefore am I. This is Jesus talking here. And he says, for therefore am I sent. For therefore am I sent. For therefore am I sent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For therefore am I sent. 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 Why were you sent, Jesus? Therefore. What's the therefore referring to? It says here, for I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Why was Jesus sent? Why was Jesus sent? What are we talking about? We're talking about what is Christianity supposed to do. And we're going to see what Jesus thought he was supposed to do, what his purpose was, why he was sent. Why was Jesus? For therefore am I sent. Therefore am I sent. Why were you sent, Lord Jesus? I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Why was Jesus sent according to Jesus? Was Jesus sent so people would be good people? Was Jesus sent so we could help the poor? Was Jesus sent to so that everybody could go to heaven when they die? No, he was sent to preach the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He was sent to preach the kingdom of God. Jesus was sent. That was his mission here on the earth. His mission was to preach the kingdom of God. Turn over to Mark chapter 1. Let me show you real quick. Mark chapter 1. That's the message that Jesus preached. I want you to see what is Christianity supposed to do? Well, what did Jesus do? What did he come to do? He said, for therefore am I sent. What for were you sent, Jesus? To preach the kingdom of God. 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 To preach the king. Jesus was sent to preach, to teach, to establish the kingdom of God. Jesus came to preach the kingdom of God. Look here in Mark chapter 1. This is one of my very most favorite scriptures. I love this scripture. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What did he preach? The gospel of the kingdom of God. What did he preach? The gospel of the kingdom of God. You know, in the newer translations, the New American Standard Bible, NIV, if you have one of those, it leaves out the kingdom and just to preach the gospel of God. But if you'll read the next verse, you'll see that what he preached was, in fact, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He came into Galilee preaching the good news. That's what the word gospel means. The fantastic news, the wonderful news, the news of the kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching the gospel, the good news, the fantastic news, the wonderful news, the exciting news, news of the kingdom of God. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the exciting, wonderful, fantastic news of the kingdom of God. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the wonderful, fantastic, awesome, news
of the kingdom of God. Well, what was so exciting about it? What was so wonderful about that news? What was so great about that news? What was so fantastic about the about what he preached that it made it the good news, the gospel, the fact? Hey, boys, I got some good news for you. I got some good news for you. I've got some good news for you. What's the good news? Well, you can go to heaven when you die. Well, that's pretty good, but what does that have to do with me right now? Well, I got some good news for you. You need to live better. You need to be better people. What's the good news part? I got some good news for you, boys. I got some good news for you. The good news is you need to feed the poor. The good news is I need to feed the poor. I am the poor, dummy. Hallelujah. Well, that's not good news. What was the good news? The same, he came preaching the good news, the fantastic news, the wonderful news of what? Of the kingdom of God. Well, what was so fantastic about this? Listen, it tells us in the next verse. This is to me, this is so exciting. Listen, and saying, he came preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. And now it's going to tell us in summary what his sermon was, what the sermon that he preached was. He came preaching the gospel, the good news, the wonderful news of the kingdom of God, and saying, he's telling us what that gospel was. He came preaching the good news, the fantastic news, the wonderful news of the kingdom of God. Now the next verse says, and saying, he's going to tell us now what the sermon was. The time is fulfilled. Oh, those are the three most fantastic words in the Bible. The time is fulfilled. 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 You know, most Christians, you'll talk to them, most American evangelical Christians, you'll talk to them and they'll be talking about Jesus is coming. One of these, oh yeah, the signs all tell it, Greg. Yeah, the signs all point to it. Jesus is coming back and he's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. Oh, and then we'll be caught up into the sky. We'll be taken away from all this horrible mess down here that I've made of my life. You know, we'll leave the credit card bills for the credit card companies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll leave all our debts to the bank. We'll leave all our problems behind. Oh, wonderful, Greg. Jesus is coming. Oh, he's coming soon. But look what Jesus said. He said the time is fulfilled. When did he say that? He said that 2,000 years ago. The time was fulfilled. Here's what I want you to see. Yeah, Jesus is coming back. But can I clue you in on something? This may be a surprise to some of you. Jesus is coming back. I believe it. I believe he's coming again. He's coming again. Jesus is coming again. I believe it. I don't believe it's happening this week. I don't believe it's even happening this year. I don't even believe it's going to happen the next 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years. But I believe he's coming back. I believe he's coming back. But let me tell you this. Here's the part I want to clue you in on. Jesus 2,000 years ago said the time is fulfilled. So this may come as a shock to some of you. But let me clue you in on this. Listen. Jesus has already come. Jesus already came. Jesus has already come. He came. 2,000 years ago, he came. Jesus has come. We don't have to wait for him to come. He's already come. Can you see that? And when he came, he said, the time is fulfilled. Oh,
Oh, if you could see the power of those three words. The time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. 2,000 years ago, he said, the time is fulfilled. The time, you know, we could put it this way. The time has arrived. The time has arrived. The day is here. The time has arrived. The day is here. That's the good news. What's the good news? Jesus, you said you got some good news for us. What's the good news? The time has arrived. The time is fulfilled. The day is here. What day is that, Jesus? The good news, the day has arrived. The time has arrived. The day is here. The time is fulfilled. Okay, what day is that, Jesus? What time is fulfilled? He says in the next part, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. It's not waiting. The time is fulfilled. It's here, boys. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. What's the kingdom of? It's God's redemptive power on our behalf. It's God's power to deliver us, to save us, to help us, to heal us, to make us whole, to help us to experience His life in this life. The time is fulfilled, boys. The kingdom of God is here. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus preached. That's what Jesus preached. That's what Christianity is supposed to do. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, I'm out of time, but I'm not finished. Come back next week. I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Greg again. Before I go, I want to invite those of you who enjoy this program to write us and let us know. Let us know that this program is helping you, that it's encouraging you, that it's building you up. It helps us to hear from you. It encourages us. We encourage you. And when you write back to us, it encourages us. It helps us. It lifts us up. It motivates us to keep doing and to do more. And those of you who can't, help us with the cost of this ministry. Send us an offering to help us pay for this TV time, for the production cost, for the stuff that we're doing in Mexico. We have TV programs on in Mexico. We're one of the few American ministries that actually is broadcasting in Mexico in Spanish. And we hear tremendous reports from people about that all the time. So if you can, write to us, send us an email, call us up on the phone, let us know that this program is helping you. And while you're at it, ask for the book we're offering right now, The Believer's Authority. It's going to help you. It's going to build you up. It's going to help you to receive the things that God wants you to have in life. We offer it absolutely free. Just write for it at the address you'll see on the screen in a second. I really, really want to hear from you. I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Oh,